I realized that this guy was the quote-unquote main guy of the season, but his actions of going for the women who liked him better doesn't scream main character energy for me. Hey there, Zesties! You're tuning in to The Gleeful Talk Show, where we share zesty stories to cultivate the happiness and hero within and out. On the show, we talk about personal experiences and development, society, and culture. So if this is your jazz, then stay tuned. So Zesties, it's a new year and the newest season of South Korea's Singles Inferno have just ended. For a TV show trapping beautiful and sexy single people in a deserted island, it's definitely going to get hot and dramatic. And as usual, we have a lot of juicy topics to discuss. So Zesties, if you don't know about this show, then let me tell you about it. If you haven't watched or finished the season, don't worry as I won't reveal the final choices, but there's going to be some spoilers here and there as we go along, so you've been warned. And Zesties, I apologize once again for not being able to put out an episode last week. Life is just happening at the moment. I have to deal with some health-related things, but here I am with a new episode for you. So Zesties, going back to the topic, if you'd like to know what the tea is all about, then sit back and relax, sip your cuppa, and listen as we dive into the cast and review of Singles Inferno Season 3. So let's start off with what exactly is Singles Inferno? Well, it's South Korea's answer to the West's Love Island and Bachelor in Paradise, but a little tamer. This is where single people are placed in a deserted island where they try to find a match and go to paradise. Paradise is a luxurious hotel in the main island, and in the deserted island, they eat not so luxurious meals, but at least they don't have to hunt for food a la Survivor style, and their tents are actually air-conditioned, so it's kind of like glamping on their part. And of course, because this is a deserted island in Korea, we get to see women in heels and their little Chanel flap bags. Which I always wonder why they bring those, but yes, they do. In the deserted island, the cast are not allowed to reveal their age and their occupation. As many of you know that in Korea and many Asian countries, it is quite a custom to know the age in order to know where you sit in the hierarchy. As Asians place a lot of respect to their elders, and the tone of the conversation can vary differently when one is talking to an older person or a younger person. And of course, if you know someone's occupation, you immediately form a stereotypical assumption about them, so that is a no-no on the island. However, there is a matching process that happens ever so often, wherein if the guy and girl chose each other, they are off to the paradise for a night where they can talk about anything under the moon, eating the most luxurious meals and rolling in the most luxurious beds. So for those of you who haven't watched season 1 and 2, as with any other dating show, there's no continuity of characters. But even us who have watched the first 2 seasons, we have seen dramatic changes this season, which I am all for. So first of all, it's a bit of a spoiler. There are 2 infernos. Yes, you've heard it right. In the first 2 seasons, there was only 1 set of inferno, but on this season, there will be 2, or there were 2, and eventually they will merge in the later episodes. I actually really like this idea, although they could have merged it a bit later and swapped the people on each island a bit more. Also, the trips to paradise was done like every night. Previously, the trips to paradise were so rare that it's like a special event. But on this season, perhaps with a bigger budget, the trips to paradise was literally every night, to the point that I didn't like it that much. It's not as special anymore. The next surprising thing, this wouldn't necessarily be a spoiler because you will see it on the first episode, there is a new member of the panel, and that is Jin Young, one of the season 2 cast members. I found his presence very refreshing, and him being more naturally outspoken than other panelists made the conversation much more real and engaging. So for those who haven't really watched this show, the panel members are five celebrities who comment on the show while they're watching along with the audience, us. So I kind of like the format, but at first it was weird to me, this like that type of format. But eventually I kind of like the gist of it, and you know, seeing the reactions of the panelists kind of like validating your reaction at the same time as well. So it's kind of fun. And at first with season one, with the panelists, they were still finding their feet and they can't really comment as harshly or as realistically than how they did on this season. And a contributor of that could either be the new panel member or also the experience of the panelists during the last two seasons. So, Zesties, let's move on to the cast. I will not mention which Inferno they will be so that at least, you know, still have room for excitement if you haven't watched it. So let's start with Kim Yuri. So think of this lady as kind of the cold, unfazed it girl. At least that's what she tried to portray herself to be. If you've watched season one of Singles Inferno, you might think that her aura feels familiar. And a lot of people have pointed this out too. People are alleging that she is copying Song Jia, the it girl of season one, and one of the most memorable cast members, who had a big controversy back then. Unfortunately for Yuri, right now, whether she's copying Jia or not, her tactics didn't seem to resonate with the audience and the men on the island. A lot of people also pointed out that she wore one or two exactly same pieces that Jia wore on the show. But since Jia's controversy previously was wearing counterfeit designer pieces, her wearing the same real pieces seems like throwing a shade on Jia. Whether this is deliberate or not, Zesties, we will never know. But considering how big of a controversy Jia was back then, I can't imagine why she would wear the exact same clothing, really. What do you think? And later on this episode, there is a side to her that is actually something very scary. I guess that side would just come out because someone who is considered beautiful by a lot of people, and of course, who has a lot of confidence with her beauty, if she doesn't get what she wants, it will definitely hurt her pride because she's not used to it, if you know what I mean. So it's kind of, you know, the reaction would be kind of not so far off and would be natural, I'd say. But that was definitely an interesting turn of events, indeed. And to be honest, when I saw her reaction, I have a feeling that it was just the tip of the iceberg, really. But you know what? Good for her that she reacted that way in a way, because that rules out the not-so-interested men in her radar, which is, in reality, a waste of time, right? Judging from her aura and her first impressions, you would think that this archetype will garner a lot of men, but for some reason this season, it was a different story. Next up is Choi Hye-sun. This woman is the beauty and brains type. Another previous cast member that reminded me of a similar archetype is Nadine from Singles Inferno Season 2. She is indeed a ball of sunshine, where sometimes I found that the sunshine can be blinding in a sense that she's too energetic. Like, little things like mangoes excite her, which is maybe cute, but kind of a little bit off in a sense, but that's just me. When I saw the other women, I initially thought that she wouldn't be as popular with men, but I was mistaken because if I'm a guy, maybe she's not my type. But I have to say that this lady is well-mannered, definitely have her head over her shoulders, and much more calmer in difficult situations, surprisingly, despite her energetic nature. As the show went on, I found myself rooting for her more and wanted the best for her, to the point that I don't want her to end up with the guy she liked because he's a total ass. While I was watching the show, it made me realize that women too can fall for the superficial traits of men, and even, you know, brainy women. You would think that such a bright girl such as Hye-sun knows a guy who truly deserves her, although there was a point in the show that you could say that she is not totally blind to love or infatuation, but still she could have chosen better. But the real question is, can you actually not choose someone on the show? I kind of feel like you need to. I really hope that in the next season, there is an option to not choose someone. Next is a guy named Choi Min-woo. To be honest, there were times I get confused of the names because the guy's name starts with the same letter and like also phonetically sound the same. Anyway, this guy is like your guy next door type of thing. He is a little bit reserved than most. He has a boyish face and energy. People say he is a dog face. So hearing this as a non-Korean person feels really weird. So I didn't actually know how does a dog person look like, so I had to Google. So let's segue for a moment, Zesties, as we talk about the animal faces that Korean people use to describe themselves. So you will encounter a lot on the show that people talk about the type of the face, like a cat face or a kitty face or a puppy face, a wolf face. So yes, apparently having a dog face or puppy face have round big eyes and soft facial features. These people have droopy eyes, making them look cute and friendly, and they usually look younger than their actual age. Having a cat face, on the other hand, is having a face with edgy lines. Their eyes are narrow and slanted and have sharp noses, unless they are done through plastic surgery. And due to their clean-cut features, they tend to have a strong, sexy, chic aura. They are sometimes misunderstood to be cold and lofty. So those are the main, you know, animal faces that you will hear on the show. So let's move on to An Min Young. She is a bubbly lady where at first she was trying to be hard to get but eventually backfired. I guess she wasn't exactly playing hard to get but just wanted to talk to different men. Of course, this is a dating show, so I would completely understand her decision. But on the show, there was a guy who really liked her and she was the number one for that guy. But because she mentioned to the guy that she wanted to explore other options despite her liking him, it didn't really fall into her favor, that comment. However, it was kind of cute seeing her try to win the guy back eventually in the later episodes. They look like a couple who had a little fight and have to get back together, something like that. So that was kind of cute on her part, seeing her on behaving like that. There were times that she kind of acted like a scorned woman, which is at first it's like, oh no, don't do this. But I think eventually she toned down on how she approached the guy. And yeah, it looked cute. Anyway, let's move on to Lee Jun-suk. This guy is the buff guy. Hard on the outside, soft on the inside. This is my type of guy. Not looks-wise, but personality-wise, definitely. Because as the show unfolds, Jin-suk's personality shined. And it made him the greenest of flags. I'd say this guy is a keeper for sure. I would have wanted to see him pursue another girl, but it got nipped on the bud, which was quite unfortunate. But his relationship with Min Young on screen looks so cute. The only thing is that I feel that he's too good for her in a way. Why'd I say that? So, well, now here's a little bit of spoiler, which I kind of mentioned a bit earlier as well. He was all out on Min Young and at first, but Min Young kind of wanted to explore other guys, which is also understandable on her part because Jin-suk shouldn't, you know, bar her from checking out other guys. But, you know, it kind of didn't go well on that front. But their relationship and their interaction on screen was very cute. It just looked so cute, like a couple who was like having a cat fight or something. So it was cute. And then let's move on to Lee Kwan-hee, my least favorite cast member, to the point I got annoyed watching him. While I was watching the whole show, I realized that this guy was the quote-unquote main guy of the season, which kind of, again, annoyed me because he's not an endearing character at all, just in my personal opinion. Sure, you have to play the game. The show needs to be entertaining and it became more entertaining because of him. But his actions of going for the women who liked him better doesn't scream main character energy for me, honestly. No offense to him and to the fans, but that's just my personal opinion. And when I was trying to Google this character or this person, there were like people who were saying, this is not me saying, but I kind of, after, you know, reading it, it kind of like, oh yeah, it does make sense. So some people online were saying that he is like a narcissistic because he always asks the girl like, oh, who do you like more, or do you like me more, or, and he wants the girl to make the first move to him. I mean, it's so, and he goes to the girl who likes him better or who can show more affection towards him. It's not so manly, I would say, although I know that manliness is not defined that way. But just not my kind of man, I guess. And maybe also other women wouldn't like it. I don't know, because it was so off. Like, I was so put off by how he wants to be validated all the time. He wants the women to pursue him. And this is actually the first cast member for the three seasons, guy cast member, who is not the one pursuing women, but he is the one being pursued by women. And he wants the women to pursue him, you know? So it's kind of like not really pleasing to see on the show. And I didn't like the fact that the show became his show. And other people didn't have screen time, because every time he goes to Paradise, which is like almost every night or every night maybe, it's always his side being shown and not the people outside of the Paradise. So it was really, really annoying. It became like a Gwanhee show, which is not really good. And I did see some YouTube videos that mentioned that he tried to get into season 2, but the director put him on season 3. And maybe that was a consolation that he was put to season 3. That it will be his kind of like his show. And you know, he's a quote unquote famous basketball player in Korea, a professional basketball player. So I guess a lot of people know him. So that's why the director wanted more views of the show, maybe. And then that's why they kind of like made him as the main character of the show, which is, again, it wasn't actually, this ruined it for me watching it. And in the end, I just, you know, wanted it to be over, because he kept on like pursuing this girl and then pursuing that. I mean, not even pursuing, but just asking the girl, waiting for the best girl who had the best affection for him, which is really, really weird. And, you know, it gives off a lot of insecurity and narcissistic vibes to me. I'm not saying that he's a narcissist, like, you know, the clinically defined narcissist, but it's just the attitude. It just really feels off. I can't even. And even the panelists were all also kind of like commented something a bit out of the ordinary, in a sense that not so pleasing. But I noticed that when they were kind of like bad-mouthing him, which is well-deserved anyway, the next episode, I had a feeling that the director told them to not attack that guy too much because he's a professional basketball player and have a lot of fans. But really, like, it's just, the guy is just really, no, it's like, I don't know why they put him on, but I guess, although I know why they put him on, because he made the show quote unquote entertaining and annoying to watch, which is what the, you know, gets you the views, right? So yeah, it was really, this character, I'd say, or cast member, is my least favorite cast member. So let's move on to the men cast member who has the least amount of screen time. This is Son Won-ik and Yoon Ha-bin. So Son Won-ik he said that he has a boyish charm. I feel that his charm really didn't translate on screen. I guess he was like a bit shy and awkward, which sometimes can be cute, but I think it just didn't translate that well on screen. However, he does have a YouTube channel, and I did see him having some episode with one of the cast members as well, and he was fine. So I guess maybe in the Inferno, speaking with other people and even being on the dating show itself gives you the jitters, right? So I kind of understand why. Although all of these contestants, when they get interviewed and get introduced, they have all the confidence in the world and it just falls over in real life. So, but yeah, I think he's kind of okay guy. And again, he has less screen time than the Won-hee and especially Yoon Ha-bin, which is the indie actor. And Yoon Ha-bin, you would thought that he's a mysterious guy because he doesn't have screen time that much. But every time he has a screen time, also it's just the charm doesn't translate well on screen. And he has some weird comments about things. That's why it's just maybe not also good to show on screen. And what the part that I didn't like about Yoon Ha-bin was he was telling one of the cast members, the girls, that he wanted to go to paradise with her because he was the only guy at the latter part of the episodes who hasn't been to Inferno. And I feel like he just told this girl that he has a crush on her and I want to talk to you more in paradise. He just talked about like that so that the girl will choose him. And then he will choose her and then they get matched and go to paradise. Because what happened was they went to paradise and he said that, oh, I don't have anything to say. I mean, what the? So it was like really, and this guy is an indie actor. I don't think he will get a lot of offers anytime soon. But yeah, I was really put off by that. And now let's move on to Yoon Ha-jong. She's a woman, office worker at a medical clothing company. She is also an aspiring actress and model, signed under Leaders Entertainment and was a runner-up in Miss Chunhyang 2021. So it looks like the Singles Inferno producers always just go to beauty pageants to get their contestants. It's really odd. Like, isn't there anywhere else that they can get, you know, pretty and beautiful women, sexy women? Like, always just these beauty pageants and always just Miss Chunhyang and they Miss Korea. So just those pageants. Just interesting in a way, like, why just go? I don't know if it's that hard to find that type of caliber. So most of these women actually are part of the Miss Korea and Miss Chunhyang pageants. Anyway, so Yoon Ha-jong, she's also one of the most interesting women on the show. And again, she's one of the women who is eyeing for Won-hee, the basketball player. And eventually, Won-hee kind of didn't like her. And I feel like the reason why Won-hee didn't like her is she was calling him out. There was an episode that she called him out, which is good on her, really. Like, I applaud her for that because the guy was such an ass, really. So, yeah, this lady is actually, she deserves someone better. And I really like this main lady because she is real, you know, not like being too cutesy-cutesy, not just for a camera or anything. She's real and she's multidimensional. And also, she's pretty and she actually has a signature move, a signature flirtatious move where she moves her chin down and then, you know, stares you at the face with tantalizing eyes, I'd say. So yeah, that was like her signature move and even the panelists were commenting on it and it became like a viral move that everyone's talking about. So yeah, I really like Ha-jong. And then she has a really good friendship with Jin-seo. There were times that the show showed their conversations. And I like that, you know, they have this friendship. She looks strong on the outside, but really she's also a softie like Jin-seo. And her interaction with Won-hee at first were also quite entertaining where they have this banter with each other. And I guess eventually Won-hee just really lose his interest on her, which is, I guess it's for the best for her actually. But yeah, I like this cast member as well. Let's move on to Park Min-kyu. So he is a 34-year-old police officer and rescue diver on the Korean Coast Guard's Sea Special Rescue Team. He used to be a competitive swimmer in grade school, and though he stopped after a shoulder injury, he's still competitive with his day-to-day life. And this guy is also one of my bets. He's not as entertaining as Gwanhee, of course, because that guy's just really not my favorite. But he's like a green flag type of guy. And he's very caring. And there's part that really showed his charm and personality and good-natured personality where he went to a paradise with a lady. And then the lady, again, really liked Gwanhee. And then she was crying there in the helicopter with Gwanhee. So in the helicopter, there were three couples who was going to paradise. And because she's not with Gwanhee, she still tried to say hi to Gwanhee. But Gwanhee, again, with his immatureness, being even like 36-year-old man, didn't say hi to her and even ignored her to the point. And she, again, cried. So she was crying there and Min Kyu was drying her tears using his shirt. So that's the kind of guy he was. He's very good-natured and understanding. And again, like that lady who chose him was just because of a game. She was not the lady that she liked anyway. But he was very understanding. And yeah, again, another green flag. And when they were in paradise, all that lady was talking about was Gwanhee, which is, again, like every episode, even without Gwanhee on it, Gwanhee is being talked about. Can you imagine my annoyance? But anyway, I felt that the lady wasn't sensitive enough and wasn't considerate enough for him, that they went to paradise and all she talked about was Gwanhee. So it was off-putting. And the lady that I'm talking about is Cho Min-ji. So she is a 26-year-old economics major at Ewha Women's University, is also working towards a career as a television anchor. She is also a participant in Miss Korea 2022, and she's acquainted with season 2 cast member Choi Soo-eun. So yeah, this was the lady who came into the show midway, which is a similar type how season 2 cast member and now panelist Jin Young entered the show. So one of the most interesting characters, they put them on the middle of the show. They let them enter at the middle of the show to disrupt the status quo. And that is Cho Min-ji. And of course, at first, she really liked Jin Seok, which I was like, oh, I was kind of rooting for him because, of course, she was shut down a little bit by Min Young. And then, well, the Jin Seok was talking about Gwanhee again on an episode. Can you believe that? So eventually, she made her eyes to Gwanhee, which is again another Gwanhee. Even though Gwanhee wasn't there, he was again the talk of the town. And so eventually she was the most pursuant of Gwanhee actually. And this is a funny thing because when they went to paradise with Gwanhee, she wore a very sexy nightgown. Like, you know, like a backless nightgown, lilac nightgown. And, you know, they were very flirtatious with Gwanhee. But then you can see the difference when she was in paradise with Min Kyu, where, you know, she was crying in the helicopter and Min Kyu was let her use his t-shirt. In paradise with Min Kyu, she wore pajamas and an oversized t-shirt. That's the big of a difference there. And yeah, she's kind of a little bratty in a sense there that when she doesn't get her way, she kind of cries. There was a game that she wanted to really win because all the women on that, the top three women playing in that game was all rooting also for Gwanhee and she really wants to win. But then she didn't win. She just came in third place or I don't know, second place or something. And then that's why she was only able to take Min Kyu because of that. And after the game, like she cried and I guess like, okay, I guess she was frustrated. But there were several times she cried as well when she didn't get what she wanted. So that was a bit also like a bit of a bratty attitude in my opinion. But yeah, I'd say she is the summation of the women there, actually. She seems bright because she's like, apparently this university for women is also like for bright people. And she's also sexy and beautiful. So she's like the summation of all the women there. And she was really eyeing on Gwanhee and despite the 10-year difference. So it was just odd. Anyway, age doesn't matter. So it wasn't really that part that really sets me off, but it's just Gwanhee's immaturity anyway. So yes, that was Cho Min-ji. And last but not the least, we have Yoo Si-eun. Yeah, she's a freelance model in the wedding, fashion, and beauty industry. And she's also an influencer and media personality who was the first runner-up for Miss Korea 2022. So Sian, she looks like Jennie from Blackpink. That's the most comparable celebrity face to her. So to me, yeah, she is a very cute face. And I would have expected that, you know, a lot of guys would go for her, but actually not really that much. And she was also like a one-woman man, which is also endearing to see because Yuri and her liked the same guy. And Yuri was just really scary. So yeah, she's quite endearing character and quite introvert. So her charm, in a sense, was just through her beautiful face and not much personality, I'd say, that really came through. However, there's a particular trait of her that I really liked, where she was believing and she was trusting to the guy, you know, like kind of like believe that the guy will pull through and will choose her, something like that. So that was quite endearing to see for UCN. So yes, Zesty, so those are the cast members and my opinions about each cast member. For those who are fans of the cast members that I wasn't a fan of, I hope you are not offended. And of course, this is just my personal opinion, right? You know, we have different opinions and different eyes on how we see the character. And how about you? Who is your favorite and least favorite character? Let me know in the comments. And what do you think of the show? For me, the show this season, although it was quite better in a sense of experience from the producers and the panelists from the last two seasons, in terms like they've learned a lot from the last two seasons and made it for the better. However, I didn't like the editing at all, in a sense that they just talk about Gwanhee, always just Gwanhee, and other people don't have enough screen time. I'm sure there are other interesting things that happened, but because they deemed that Gwanhee's scenes are much better entertaining, it became a Gwanhee show, which I didn't like. So I actually like this season the least. How about you, Zesties? Please let me know in the comments down below. And again, Zesties, thank you so much for listening to the show. If you like the show, the best thing you can do is share to your friends, family, and everyone you know or on social media. That would be a very great help. And if you'd like to give feedback, please do send to gleefultalkshow@gmail.com or write in the ratings and comment on your favorite podcast platform. And if you would like to support the show even more, you're welcome to give me a cup of coffee or two. Please head down to the episode notes to find out how. And many thanks again for our patron. Jem, thank you so much for keeping me caffeinated this month. And Zesties, I'll see you next time.